today on More to Life, button pushers. Some people really have a talent for getting under our skin. Let's help you find grace-filled ways to keep your cool, regain control of the situation, and set boundaries that stick. 877-573-7825.
All of us want a great and grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to Life. Happy couples find little ways to say I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our homes.
Practical. Theology of the Body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with them.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, button pushers. We're talking about those people who, when you spend more than like 5 minutes with them, make you go...
And it could be more than 5 minutes. You're feeling that way because we actually were with a button pusher.
I'll talk about that in a minute, actually. But, you know, some people really do have a talent for getting under our skin. We want to help you find grace-filled ways to keep your cool, regain control of the situation, and, when necessary, set boundaries that stick. How do you do all that? Well, it starts by giving us a call at 877-573-7825. Again, that number is 877-573-7825.
I'm sure our listeners heard that exhale I did, because as soon as you said regain control of the situation, I went, oh, that's really what we're all looking for. Because these button pushers, somehow, through a word, through a sound, through a behavior, through breaking a boundary you think you set, whether it's in little tiny ways or giant ways. You know, we often, I don't even know if this commercial still exists, but we often talk about, like, the Kool-Aid Man. Just a while ago, this has been around forever, though. The Kool-Aid commercial is this giant Kool-Aid pitcher bursting through a wall and coming into the situation to make everybody happy. A lot of people burst through our walls of wanting
and don't
control,
have the courtesy to even bring any Kool-Aid.
Exactly. They don't
Hello?
Even bring something refreshing
What's
with them.
What's up with that?
They're wrecking everything. And it is really, you know, you're talking about keeping our cool, but keeping our cool if they're still the ones controlling our feelings, the situation that we're in, isn't enough. So yes, keeping your cool. Yes, being able to set boundaries. But being in control of yourself, the situation you're in, so that they don't just run you over, wreck everything, make you miserable, and have you thinking about all the things you should have said and done for a week afterwards.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. It's funny, because I think you highlighting that idea of being able to stay in control is really important, because when we can be around people who are irritating, but we feel in control right. of the situation or ourselves, we're much more likely to tolerate those behaviors and respond to them in an effective way.
Yes.
Not just put up
Which
with it.
Which is the most
really
important part, yeah.
It's when we feel off balance because that person did or said things that we weren't expecting that really, I think, is the most upsetting part of being around, for want of a better way to put it, irritating people. And when I say that, you know, we can all be irritating people to other people
Absolutely.
All the time, right?
Because we're all broken and we're all fallen and we're all fallible.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that there's a certain class of people that are just irritating and shame on them. I mean, we all irritate each other all the time. And so we want to talk about how to deal with those folks that just, you know, rub you the wrong way. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
And it could be somebody that just irritates you, and you're thinking, everybody else seems to think they're great, but to me, they're terrible. They're just awful to me. But then there are other people who really want to control a situation, the mood in the room, the experience for everyone. their power over the people they are with, or just over you. And for them, that's a habitual way to be. And that takes a little bit more skill to crack that code and allow you to keep your cool, regain your control of the situation, and set boundaries that actually stick. If that sounds refreshing, if that sounds like something you need, well, we're right here for you today on More to Life. Just give us a call. The number is 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825. 7825. I say stick it in your contacts so you don't have to worry about us repeating it. You just hit the button and give us a call. 877-573-7825.
It's the More to Life bat signal. Give us a call and tell us, are you dealing with someone who's good at pushing your buttons? You know, maybe it's your spouse who's done something that's frustrating you. Maybe your kid's behavior is getting on your nerves more than you wish it was. Maybe your parent says or does things that put your teeth on edge, or a family member or friend isn't respecting your boundaries. I mean, let's face it, we never run out of opportunities to deal with people who get under our skin. So let's explore how to handle them gracefully. 877-573-7825. Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's theology of the body. And if you're wondering how some highfalutin theological stuff can help you deal with irritating people, glad you asked. So St. John Paul, when he was Pope, he asked this huge question. Basically, he said, you know, look, if we take a look at everything God's given us, creation, scripture, salvation, history, what universal principles could we discern about God's plan for human flourishing and healthy, holy relationships? And the answer he came up with is this theology of the body.
And St. John Paul II gives us some really practical wisdom for dealing with irritating people. In his book, Love and Responsibility, he reminds us that authentic love means working for the ultimate good of another person. Now notice, he doesn't say that we need to like everybody and always enjoy their company. Loving someone is about committing to work for their ultimate good, even when their personality or behavior frustrates us.
You know, and I think it's freeing to know that loving somebody doesn't mean pretending we enjoy everything about them. It means choosing to be charitable, treating them with dignity because they're a child of God. In fact, doing this even when we feel irritated by them is, I think, an even more perfect witness of Christian love, because we're acting in that person's best interests, even though we don't necessarily feel like it.
So the theology of the body reminds us that every person is a gift, even when they don't always act like one. Our challenge is to ask for the grace to look past the rough edges and try to understand the deeper motivation behind their actions.
And when we can respond to the motivation behind their actions instead of just reacting to the irritating behavior itself, we're loving in a more Christ-like way. But that said, look, doing that doesn't mean letting people get away with genuinely offensive behavior.
That is absolutely right, because loving someone means working for their ultimate good. And that sometimes means that we need to set boundaries with them, especially when their behavior is disrespectful, unkind, or unsafe. The Catechism calls us to bear wrongs patiently. But it also tells us there are times when we need to admonish the sinner. Both are spiritual works of mercy.
So, real love is that balance, you know, patience with the person, but also the courage to call them to something better. And that's how even our most frustrating relationships or frustrating interactions with people in our lives can become opportunities for grace and growth and healing.
You know, we often think that being holy means just tolerating or just suffering through somebody's bad behavior or the way they treat us and offering it up. But we can really see from the theology of the body that there is a whole different way to work for their good and our own and truly become more grace-filled fulfilled in doing so.
Well, you know, we alluded to this in the very first couple of minutes of the show here today, but you mentioned that we were with somebody last night who is kind of irritating to me in particular. Now, I love this person. I really do. I care about this person very much, and the relationship is important to me. But they have certain behaviors that really just get under my skin and are hard for me. And last night, that was just full on display. And you know, I was pretty irritated. But I managed to, you know, treat this person, I think, very well, and you know, attend to their needs and concerns. But I was feeling a little guilty afterward because I was so irritated with them. And I was like, you know, I'm just a horrible person, you know.
And I want to say I was fully in agreement with the irritation with you. We were right there. And then you said something that I thought was incredibly insightful and helped both of us deal
with. Well, it's I think what we were talking about in this reflection here, that, you know, loving somebody doesn't necessarily mean you always enjoy their presence or necessarily always like what they do or say. It means that I'm committed to working for their good. And, you know, if I was irritated with that person but still working hard to take care of them and attend to them and be polite and charitable, that's actually, I don't want to overstate it, but a more heroic example of Christian love than if I just felt wonderful toward them.
And it's more of a spiritual exercise. So what you said in condensed words, because I think I want to put it on a sign for myself, is it doesn't really matter what you think, it's how you act.
Or feel, for that matter.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter the feelings that you have, it's what you do with them.
And it's like, okay, I'm irritated, fill in the blank. But what do I have to do in this situation to be my best self and help them be their best selves? And when we do that, we're overcoming that drawing into our worst selves, our most sinful selves, and it changes everything. And it truly is a spiritual exercise and a stepping stone to holiness.
So let us help you, 877-573-7825.
Because it isn't always easy to do. It's easy to say, not so easy to do. So let us help you with some new skills today, 877-573-7825.
Let's help you deal with those button pushers. We'll take our concerns to the Lord and we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Lord, we come to you today and we bring to you all those irritating people that get under our skin with the things they do and say, whether they are just habitually irritating or just occasionally irritating. The fact is, we all struggle to respond charitably and effectively and gracefully in those times. And so, Lord, we ask you for the grace, the patience, the compassion, the understanding to deal with the people that are getting under our skin in ways that allow us to work for their ultimate good, regardless of how we happen to feel in the moment. And help us to be able to be your face to these individuals, and help us to heal those relationships to the degree that it's possible, that we might be able to bring your grace into those interactions and draw closer to you and each other in the way we respond to each other's irritable traits, so that we can grow together in your love. We ask all this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great.
Pray for us.
Today on More to Life, the show is titled Button Pushers, as we talk about those people who have a real talent for getting under our skin. How can we deal with them gracefully? 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Frank, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Missouri.
Is Frank there? Oh, we lose Frank?
We
just lost him. But he asked the question, how do we deal with a coworker who constantly takes over conversations and butts
into? This is that he butts into. So apparently they weren't, you know, he wasn't invited into the conversation, the coworker, but he's like, I'm there and I'm going to wedge into this. And then he starts taking it all over.
I think it's okay, Frank, to just say to the person, hey, I'd be happy to hear whatever it is that you have to say, but first we need to finish this thought, or even to say I'd love to talk about this with you some other time, but I was talking with this person about this right now and I really need to get to the end of this, you know, to set those kind of gentle boundaries that let him know how he can participate or when he could participate if now is not the time. There are just some people who don't have great boundaries, and because of that, they don't necessarily read the room well and know how they're coming across. You know, they want to be included, and that's, you know, nothing wrong with that. But sometimes delivery is lacking. And so being able to help that person understand how they could participate by saying something like, hey, look, you know, I'd be happy to hear what you have to say, but you kind of interrupted me right now. Can you just give me a minute to finish the sentence? Or, you know, I'd be happy to have you be part of the conversation, but so-and-so was talking with me, you know, and I'd like to finish what they were saying. Or, hey, I could talk about this with you some other time, but he and I were having this conversation, and I really need to finish it with him. All three of those possibilities are perfectly fine ways to set a boundary with somebody who doesn't really take the hint that they shouldn't be, you know, butting in on a conversation that doesn't have anything to do with them.
Now, again, we get it. You probably just want to say, hey, buddy, wake up. You keep being this obnoxious jerk who butts into private conversations. Why are you doing this? Please stop. But it's actually ineffective because then the person gets defensive or other people take you wrong if they've heard it, and it just falls apart. Also, being silent and letting him get away with it is also a reward. So using the kinds of statements that Greg is talking about here creates a boundary, gives you the conversation back, but isn't alienating or cruel in any way, so you don't look like the jerk. And other people don't consider you rude for setting that limit. It's polite and it's effective.
With that, let's go to our next caller, an anonymous listener in New Hampshire. Welcome to More to Life. How can we help you out today?
Hello?
Go ahead, Bella. Yeah, what's up?
I have a 9-year-old boy that I am, and his 12-year-old brother that I'm guarding of, and these little boys have been severely abused by their dad, and they learned a lot of bad behaviors from their dad.
Sure.
And what they do is they lie constantly because that's what their dad did, and I'm trying to explain to them that they can't keep, you know, lying.
Give me an example of the lies. So I hear what you're saying. I think I have a good idea of what's going on and how to fix it, but give me an example.
They steal food and stuff, and they know I didn't take it, and he will also... like, when I ask him a question about why he's doing it, and, you know, he'll say, I didn't do it, I didn't do it. And then he'll hurt himself, and he'll lie about it. And we're trying to get him not to lie, and it's just getting under our skin. And then after a while, he'll say, yes, I did, and he'll scream for like an hour.
Okay, so let me clue you in to how to deal with kids with a traumatic background. Everything you're describing is completely normal for a child who's been through what these kids have been through. Now, I'm not saying it's okay. They need to be helped through it. But you have to approach it differently than you would a kid who did not have a traumatic background.
And I want you to understand, these kids are not lying to get away with something. They're answering you the way they are because that's how their system is set to safety. If that thing that they don't approve of didn't happen, then I'm safe. And these children are desperate for safety.
And they're always afraid. So growing up in an abusive environment, it actually wires your brain to always be afraid that you could be hurt again. And so kids who are raised in that with a traumatic background have a tendency to interpret even neutral interactions as threats. Right? The second thing is that these kids will always hoard food. They will always hoard and hide food.
It's just basic life-sustaining safety.
Because for them, they on a deep, unconscious level, they don't know if they're going to have to run away. They don't know if the grown-up in their life is going to feed them on a given day.
And don't take that personally. Again, this is wired into their brain because of this experience that's happened way before you came into their lives. It's not that, you haven't earned their trust. People are going to have to spend their lives earning the trust of these children.
And it has never been safe for them to make mistakes, much less do something openly wrong. So when I am terrified... Okay, when I'm terrified that it's not okay to make mistakes, and even more terrified of the consequences of doing something actually wrong, I'm going to lie about it. Not because I want to, not because I'm bad, but because I'm terrified that if you find out the truth, you're going to beat me. Or you're going to leave me.
I mean, these children have been told through their father's actions, if not also his words, that they don't deserve to exist. So their primal survival skill is, I need food. I need safety.
So here's what you need to do, okay? Don't call out the lie. Make it safe to tell the truth. So you find the food that's hidden, and you take it out and you say, hey, I'm so sorry that you felt like you had to hide this. If you ever need anything, please just ask me for it. Would you like a snack now? Is there something that I can get for you to help you, you know, feel less hungry? You see what I'm doing? You're addressing the lie, but you're not punishing them for it. You're not attacking. You're saying, here's how you can approach me safely. And if you approach me safely, I will make that space for you to get your need met.
You might even want to actually make that space. So getting, you know, a tote, a plastic tote with lock top, so you're not attracting pests into this child's bedroom or something, and saying, this can be your box. When you really want to make sure you have food that you have control of, just put it in here with the lid on it. So you know it's safe and sound. No bugs will get to it. You're safe to have
that. But even if they don't, just say, I'm so sorry that you felt so scared that you had to do this. I want you to know that it's safe for you to tell me if you need something. Here, is there something you need now? It's okay. And don't make it an issue, right? Now, there's more that I could say, but we're running out of time, unfortunately. So take this and run with it. And I also really encourage you to be seeking some family counseling for you and the kids, because they need professional support to get through all
this. Yes, and with professionals who really understand childhood trauma.
Attachment trauma. All right. Thank you so much for the call. If there's more we can do to support you, please don't hesitate to reach out to us here or through CatholicCounselors.com. With that, we got to go to break. When we come back, more with your calls coming up on More to Life.
Concentration camp survivor Elie Wiesel once said, to forget murder victims is to kill them twice. 65 million unborn children have been killed by abortion. A small fraction of these victims are buried in human cemeteries. Let us honor them at the graves and memorial markers Saturday, September 13th, the National Day of Remembrance. See all locations and times at nationaldayofremembrance.org. That's nationaldayofremembrance.org.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today, More to Life is all about button pushers. You know, some people have a real talent for getting under our skin. We want to help you find grace-filled ways to keep your cool, regain control of the situation, and maybe even, when necessary, set boundaries that stick. Sound good? Well, it all starts with giving us a call at 877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877-573-7825. Whether you are dealing with your spouse who's been frustrating you lately, or your kid's behavior is getting on your nerves more than you wish it was, maybe your parent says or does things that put your teeth on edge, or a family member or a friend just isn't respecting your boundaries, we want to help you find grace-filled ways to manage those irritating people, or just regular people who sometimes do irritating things. 877-573-7825. 7825.
You know, if you are in a situation where you're looking at your planner for the day, or you have somebody walk into your, you know, space and your shoulders go up around your ears, you feel that sense of dread, that's the person we want to help you with today. So give us a call.
877-573-7825. Hey, I wanted to let you know about an exciting new development at EWTN. EWTN Nightly News has a new full-time anchor starting this week, Veronica Dudo. She is an Emmy Award-nominated journalist who's reported on major stories across the U.S. and around the world. She's a cradle Catholic and a Catholic-educated woman. She brings both her faith and her passion for truth in journalism to the anchor desk at EWTN News Nightly.
And boy, do we need truth in journalism these days. So be sure to tune in, because no one delivers more news from a Catholic perspective. EWTN News Nightly with Veronica Dudo. Clear, concise, and Catholic. Tonight at 9 Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Check it out, EWTN News Nightly. With that, we are taking your calls right now at 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Are you dealing with someone who's good at pushing your buttons? You know, as we talked about in the beginning of the show, you know, the theology of the body can really help us have a better sense of how to respond to these folks, because St. John Paul reminded us that we do need to love everyone, that every person is a gift from God who deserves to be loved. But that doesn't mean we always like being around them. And the difference is that regardless of how we feel about that person inside, we need to be committed to working for their ultimate good. And sometimes that means putting up with things, sometimes that means setting boundaries, and sometimes it's hard to know which to do. Let us help you today on More to Life. We'll find grace-filled answers to those irritating people. 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue after the break.
Hello, Steve Ray here from Footprints of God Pilgrimages. The land of our Lord and our Lady is calling us. We're heading back to the Holy Land over Christmas break this year. We have the best, most reliable guides and services awaiting us. The holy sites are open, and the local Christians are anxious to see us. Galilee, Jerusalem, Nazareth, Bethlehem. No crowds, no lines. Hope you can join us.
Find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at avemariaradio.net.
Believers who respond to God's word and become members of Christ's body become intimately united to him, the Catholic Catechism tells us. Through the sacraments, those who believe are intimately united with Christ in a very real and hidden way. The body's unity does not do away with the diversity of its members, who engage in a diversity of functions. The unity of the mystical body triumphs over all human divisions. There are no Jews, no Greeks, no slave, no free man. All are one in the body of Christ. Christ is the head of the body of the church, the principle of creation and redemption. We are united with Christ in his Passover. All his members must strive to resemble him until Christ is formed in them. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
The devil will always do his best to tempt you into sin until you get to that place where you love sin. That's what he wants. He wants you down there with him. And not because he loves you, he hates you. When you do what the enemy tempts you to do, he does it out of pure hatred.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Hi, I'm Lisa Popcheck. In sports, teams win or lose not only because of the skills of their players, but also how well the players work together. The players on winning teams support and encourage one another, even in the toughest fight. Marriage is the same way. Couples who tackle marital conflicts with a sense of teamwork do better than couples who enter conflict ready to battle one another. In fact, research finds that happy couples have 5 positive interactions for every negative interaction, even during conflicts. That doesn't mean these couples avoid tough issues or that they aren't honest and direct with one another. But even in difficult conversations, these couples go out of their way to make sure that their spouse feels loved and cared for. They offer words of encouragement and affirmation. They work to regulate their own emotional temperature. They take breaks to refocus the conversation. And they cultivate sympathy for their spouse's position, even when they disagree with it. In short, their priority isn't to win. Instead, it's solving the problem in a way that respects their spouse and strengthens their marriage. For more tips about managing marital conflict, read our book, How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love. Or for more personalized, faith-filled help, visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Welcome back, folks. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
Today's show is titled Button Pushers. You know, some people really have a talent for getting under our skin. And we want to help you find grace-filled ways to keep your cool, regain control of the situation, and, when necessary, set boundaries that stick. Sound good? Well, it all starts with giving us a call right now at 877-573-7825. Who are those people who are pushing your buttons? Your spouse driving you a little crazy these days? Kid kind of getting on your nerves more than you wish they were? Your parent or other family member just kind of pushing the boundaries a little bit? Whoever it is, whatever the situation is, let us help you find ways to charitably and gracefully handle those situations. 877-573-7825.
We're talking now with Mary, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Virginia.
Hi, Mary. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Good morning.
Good morning.
I was listening to the previous speaker and talking about
the caller with the traumatized nine-year-old who she's a guardian of. Yes. Mm-hmm.
I have a 7-year-old and a 6-year-old and a husband who, until I went through the awakening process and found my way in the Catholic Church and brought them with me, were all, between church and home life, very resistant, and I just kept trying to approach it in a way where it was mostly fasting and prayer. I knew I couldn't force them. Only God could do the converting. I just needed to be the light. And since then, church life has gotten better. However, my children still, they're both on the spectrum and have ADHD, so very big emotions sometimes.
Just to clarify, they're on the autism spectrum, or?
Yes, yes.
Okay, thank you.
And then my husband has recently been kind of backsliding in the way where he doesn't want to do the sign of the cross before meals if we're out in public, or he doesn't want to read the Bible. And although I feel like those aren't things that should make me angry, they are quite upsetting, and I don't know how to approach them in a way that doesn't portray that I feel like my God has been disrespected.
You know, Mary, I want to say, you putting that on yourself, I shouldn't be upset by this. We should be upset when we are disrespected. And what your husband is saying is, you know, I'm not alongside of you with this, and it hurts you.
Well, can I ask, though, this is a different question than you proposed to our screener, though, so I just want to get a little bit more information. Let me just finish with this first. And then, so when you guys are in public, right, you're at a restaurant, for example, and you're saying grace before meals, is he still willing to pray with you, just he's reluctant to make the sign of the cross?
The most recent occurrence that we were out was 3 days ago, and the girls are loud and proud. They'll do it with me. And he, after being notified that I noticed he's not doing it, would, like, with a single finger, do a quick motion and then bow his head. But that's the most effort I got.
But is it? But okay. But that's about the sign of the cross. But I guess what I'm asking is he still praying with you, regardless of whether he makes the sign of the cross or not?
That's the only time he would pray with me.
As if you make an issue out of it, you're saying.
Yeah. And
so he's not praying with you at home. There's no couple prayer going on. You're feeling very lonely in that. Is that what I'm hearing?
And every time I bring it up, he just says that he's too tired from work and that he doesn't have time for it. I've come back and said that it's the most important thing and that everything else would fall into place, and you don't make time for it. You center your life around it. And
okay.
Well, here's the thing, Mary.
We're actually talking about this on Catholic Home this week, because we started a conversation last week with our subscribers on the Catholic Home app about couple prayer, about family prayer, about the challenges that that a lot of Catholic couples have in initiating couple prayer. And there are a lot of excuses that the people use, but when it comes right down to it, and I want you to reflect on this, couple prayer is really about intimacy. It's about intimacy with God and each other.
Closeness, connection, a real understanding and oneness with the other.
And when I say couple prayer, I don't just mean saying the formal prayers of the church. Now, the formal prayers of the church are important. Okay, I'm not discounting that at all. But they're meant to take conversational prayer deeper. The prayers like the rosary, chaplets, other devotions, they are meditative forms of prayer, which are meant to build on conversational prayer and cause us to reflect on deeper mysteries, the life of Christ, things that we might not otherwise think to pray about. But they assume that more personal connection with God and that more heartfelt conversation that we have with God through that more conversational type of prayer. And that prayer, that conversational prayer, is specifically intimate. Now, and assuming that we have that conversational intimacy with God, then the formal prayers of the church take that intimacy even deeper, whereas some people would prefer to just use those formal prayers as a way of checking off the box without actually cultivating a personal relationship with God, which is an abuse of those devotions. The reason I'm going into this, Mary, is because this isn't I don't think this is primarily a spiritual problem. And this has come out in the conversations we were having with couples on Catholic Home this past week, and even some conversations we've had with our clients and folks on the air here. I want you to reflect on this and see if you think this is true, that this is really about a question of intimacy, that your husband is uncomfortable revealing his thoughts, his feelings, dealing with conflict, discussing things on a deeper level with you in general, and that he works to avoid that. My suspicion is, okay, if you have two children who are on the spectrum, that it's possible that one or both of you, your husband and or you, have some indications of that in your personalities as well, which can make connection more difficult, not impossible, but more difficult, which can make intimacy a little bit more challenging and uncomfortable. And cause your husband, especially if he's particularly dealing with these kinds of things, to work really hard to resist those opportunities that you might be giving him to create that intimacy and connection through either prayer or relationship.
Now, even if that does not ring true to you, and you're saying, no, my husband does not show any of those indicators, for parents in general, even when they are not dealing with people, children who are, you're describing your daughters as loud and proud about it. Children need and make noise and talk all the time, no matter who they are or what they're dealing with. It is very, very difficult then for parents to ever get chances to talk about real things, have time together, feel emotionally and spiritually close to one another. So if you're all out and your husband is trying to, you know, make sure in his own brain the girls are okay, they're not making a scene, and he thinks that maybe even, you know, praying is going to make more of a scene because they're going to be loud about it, he might be pulling back for that reason, because it doesn't mean intimacy to him. It means the possibility of everybody getting triggered and making a spectacle in some way, and that scares him.
But either way, right, coming at him in a kind of a critical angry way because you feel disrespected or you're offended that God was disrespected is going to backfire.
Yeah, big time.
Because it's just going to make, because either case, all right, either of the two cases we described, it's just going to make him feel even more intimidated to open up. I would really like you to approach this not so much as a spiritual problem, but as an issue related to intimacy in the relationship. And like we were saying, you know, you said the previous caller kind of inspired you to call. And we were telling the previous caller that rather than addressing the fact that the traumatized child she has is lying directly, to make it safe to tell the truth. I'm going to give you some similar advice here. You want to make it safer for him to be intimate with you emotionally, spiritually, relationally. I would love for you don't give up the prayer time, right? You know, create that spot where every day we say grace at meals. Every day we're going to take this time, this even minute or two, to pray together as a couple, to pray together as a family. And he participates how he participates. But during the day, you have that conversation where you say, you know, I really feel like you're resisting. You've got a lot of walls up, and I love you, and I want to know your heart more, and I want to make it safe for you to share your heart more with me, and that's what prayer is really about: opening up our hearts and our minds and our feelings to God and to each other. And it's not a matter that you're too tired to do it; it's that it's hard for you, and that it's scary for you, and I get that. I love you too much to let you hide out from me. I love you too much to let those walls stay up. And we have to work on that, both in prayer and our relationship in general. And Mary, to that end, I'd really encourage you to pick up a copy of For Better Forever, A Catholic Guide to Lifelong Marriage, and read through it together as a way of really understanding the kind of relationship that God is calling you to. Because marriage and family spirituality isn't just about the prayers that we say, it's about the relationship that we cultivate with each other and making sure that God is part of every part of that relationship. And For Better Forever, A Catholic Guide to Lifelong Marriage will talk you through how to do that. I'd really encourage you as well to maybe make a marriage encounter weekend where the two of you can learn how to talk to each other on a more intimate level and really listen and hear each other and respond to each other in ways that make it safe to be more open to each other. And if you find that you need more personalized attention in this, I'd encourage you to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. But the issue here, you're framing this as a willfulness issue or a disrespect problem where your husband is disrespecting God and disrespecting you. Your husband, for whatever reason, is terrified of intimacy. He's terrified of opening up and being vulnerable. And a lot of guys are. I mean, honestly, I know a lot of women who are.
Humans are. Yeah. It's scary to be that real with someone.
And that's hard to handle, like, because you feel like the door's being slammed in your face and it hurts. But if you approach it in a critical, attacking, angry, accusatory way, and you react out of that offense that you feel, you'll actually shut him down more.
Yeah, what you're saying is, you're right. It is scary to be close to me. It is scary to be vulnerable.
See how scary I'm making it?
Because I'm gonna lay down the law on this, or I'm gonna get angry at you, and you're actually nailing down that behavior.
I'm not blaming you for that.
No, it's a normal reaction.
No, it's a perfectly normal reaction to that, to him shutting down like that. But I'm just saying that if you want to help him overcome it, coming at it like it's an offense is going to actually compound the problem.
Right. It's a normal reaction. It's not an effective reaction. So, again, when we go back to our theology of the body point today, what you want to do is say, how can I work for his ultimate good in this? Not to win the hill in this argument, to work for his and our, as a couple and a family, ultimate good in this situation. And that's why you handle it the way we've been talking about.
I would
about
also
now.
Say, while I appreciate your piety, Don't be so concerned about God being disrespected in that struggle for him to make the sign of the cross. God is a big enough and strong enough God that he was willing to be disrespected to the point of crucifixion for love for us.
Then he overcame it with his resurrection.
My point in that is not to say that we should blaspheme.
Never.
or be openly disrespectful to God. My point is that when it comes to having to choose between God's comfort, quote-unquote, and his desire for us to feel safe approaching him, he will do anything that he can to make it safer for us to approach him.
Beautifully said.
And I would like you to follow that example. If there's more that we can do to support you, as I said, we've been having this conversation on Catholic Home all week. You can download the Catholic HOM app, that stands for Households on Mission, and become part of that conversation and really talk more about how to have a more vital and meaningful marriage and family prayer life, as well as get ongoing parent coaching from Lisa and I and our whole team of parenting experts and tons of creative resources to help you build a more dynamic domestic church.
Including, I want to mention, I know you told me that yesterday you recorded a new Beatitudes podcast.
Podcast
that will be going up this week that is all about dads, husbands,
couple prayer
and how important that is.
So the new episode of
Beatitudes
will be available on
Catholic
Home starting tomorrow. It should launch. And we have actually two podcasts specifically about this topic that are coming out this week. So check that out. Also, again, I'm going to recommend For Better Forever, A Catholic Guide to Lifelong Marriage, as a way of going deeper with this. Also, as I said, Marriage Encounter, really important. And if you want more personalized guidance than any of the things I've offered so far, then CatholicCounselors.com can help you find faith-filled ways to really make more space for intimacy in your marriage in every way, including spiritually. But Mary, thank you so much. You have a beautiful heart. God is really leading you to lead your family to a deeper relationship with Him and with each other. There are real obstacles in the way, but I know that there are ways through those obstacles, as long as you don't allow the enemy to use those obstacles to bring out the worst in you, and that you all get the help that you need to overcome these obstacles gracefully. Thank you so much for the call. And with that, we are heading out to our break. It's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Matthew chapter 5, verse 44.
I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you.
Now, we chose this verse because when we hear this, and we're all familiar with this verse, we think that God is saying, you know, always be nice to everybody no matter how awful they are to you. And sometimes that's true. Sometimes we need to be charitable and to bear those wrongs patiently. Sometimes that is the best thing to do. But when we have the opportunity to actually work for the good of our enemy, to call them to repentance, to set a boundary that prevents them from continuing to act in that offensive way, that is the most loving thing to do. And so we pray for the people who persecute us, and we love our enemies, not in the sense of just making room for abuse, but in the sense of really asking God to teach us how to respond to their offenses in ways that bring out the best in us and bring out the best in them. Because that is what it really means to love ourselves and love the other person in the presence of those kinds of offenses, which we're talking about today on our show titled Button Pushers. Some people really have a talent for getting under our skin. Let us help you find grace-filled ways to keep your cool, regain control of the situation, and set boundaries that stick. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. We'll be back with more of your questions coming up right after the break.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
The following program is brought to you in part by MyCatholicWill.com. Surveys show that more than half of Americans do not have a will. At MyCatholicWill.com, it takes as little as 15 minutes to write your will and secure a legacy of faith. MyCatholicWill.com is the exclusive online destination for creating a Catholic will. The process of writing a will is simple and now more accessible than ever. MyCatholicWill.com, a legacy of faith for those you love.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Thanks for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today's show is titled Button Pushers, as we talk about those people who really have a talent for getting under our skin. Got somebody like that in mind? Let's talk it out. 877-573-7825.
Greg, Pam from Denver, Colorado called and she had a question. She said, sometimes when I get into conversations with people, I don't notice when things escalate to conflict. How to be better present in the interactions with people to not let things get out of hand?
Pam, that's a great question, and thank you so much for asking. So listen, because we can't read people's minds, mm-hmm. we don't always know when things are escalating. That's
people
not
sometimes
necessarily
hold
your
it
fault.
In and look, you know, it's the poker face. You don't know.
The best we can do is at the point when we realize that things have escalated, you know, and that could be, you know, early warning signs like the person rolling their eyes at us to, you know, them huffing and puffing and kind of the whole, oh my gosh, you know, that kind of thing.
Turning away from us a little bit in the midst of that conversation to kind of break the conversation. We need to look for
shutting down or even lashing out. Like, but there are lots of different ways they could indicate. At whatever point you notice it, it doesn't really matter when. Like, you could miss all the signs until they start yelling at you. But at this point you notice it, the best thing to do is to say, hey, I'm so sorry that you're feeling so upset about this right now. I totally get it. This is a difficult conversation, but I want you to know I am not your enemy, and I want to get through this together. What can we do to get this back on track? How can I show you that I care about you, and how can we get this back on track? Right, so you can't be a mind reader, but you can respond better to the signs that they give you that the things have escalated to the point. Because if you do anything else, right, if you try to defend yourself, or if you try to tell them to calm down, you know, or if you, you know, try to actually address the specific mean things they're saying to you. Well, that's not true. Da, 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 da. You end up accidentally feeding the monster, and it gets worse. What you have to do is respond to what, you know, sometimes people will call the meta data, the meta conversation, to have a conversation about the conversation, to not discuss the topic that's being brought up. You know, somebody says, Pam, I can't believe you're such a whatever, blah, 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 and you did this and such. You don't respond to any of that. You respond to the way the conversation's being presented. Hey, I can see how frustrated you are right now, and I'm sorry if you feel like I'm coming at you or I'm frustrating you in some way. I want you to know I'm not your enemy, and I want to get through this together. What can we do to get this discussion back on track? So that's the meta conversation. You're having a conversation about the conversation instead of responding to the actual content of the conversation. Because if you do that, you're pouring gas on the fire, right?
And so, they may try to take it back to that content of the conversation. Just repeat what Greg just said. I really care about you. What can we do to get this conversation back on track?
And use that as a broken record technique. You know, I totally get it. You're upset with me. You're frustrated with the situation. And you're right to be. This is a frustrating situation. This is a tough conversation. Thank you for hanging in there with me. What can we do to get this back on track? You know, is there something I can do to reassure you that I'm on your side? You know, is there something that we need to do to really kind of refocus in on what needs to happen here? But at whatever point you recognize that it has escalated, you know, don't beat yourself up for having missed the early warning signs. Maybe there weren't any. You know, as Lisa was saying, sometimes people are really good at hiding that. You know, and some people don't actually ever show that. Some people just shut down. They get quieter and even agreeable because they want to shut you up. And so they don't actually say anything offensive and let you know that it's escalated. They just absent themselves from the discussion. So at whatever point you realize it's escalated, that's fine. Respond to whatever that feedback is in the way we're describing to be able to say, I'm on your side. I get why you're upset. This is upsetting. I'm totally in it with you, and I want to take care of you through this whole thing. What do we need to do to get this back on track? All right, Pam, thank you so much for the question. And folks, we've been talking throughout the show about all those irritating people that kind of plague our lives and how to respond gracefully. But if you'd like more personalized attention on how to respond to that particularly irritating person in your life, whether that's your spouse, your young or adult child, parent or family member, or other important person, reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com, where you can get faith-filled answers to overcome those challenges and transform your marriage, family, or personal life in the light of God's grace. Thanks so much for tuning in. Until next time, remember that with God's grace, there is so much more to life. Have a blessed day.
More to Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. For copies and downloads of this program, and for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.